my roommate.
Was he really?
Yeah.
All right, anytime you're ready, get that slate and ready to go.
Where do you want me to look?
You can look at him.
We're just going to be on audio.
Okay.
Just want to make sure you state your name.
Oh, it's just audio?
Yes,
oh, okay. Fine.
You ready, sir?
Why not take my cup and put my coat on?
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Pickens. Could you please state your name for the record?
Yeah, my name's Ace Pickens.
Okay. My name is Lamont Wilburn. It's very nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
Going to be interviewing today. And the purpose of our interview is not to expose anything or to put anything in writing that you don't want in writing, but it's to memorialize your time here and to bestow any information and knowledge that you have on the current legislature. So I know you have just an illustrious career, so I'd like to start kind of now and then kind of move backwards.
Sure.
So what is it that you're doing now, sir, now that you've left the legislature?
I'm practicing law here in Austin.
Okay.
I've been for about the last 40 years.
Wow. Okay. So what kind of law are you practicing here in law?
Administrative law.
Okay. And so
certified administrative law.
So has that been more or less fulfilling or the same as being your time here in the legislature?
Well, this is after, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sir, so now moving back a little bit, I read a few of your resolutions. One of them said that you were from Odessa, and then the other one said you were from Borger. So which one is it?
Well, I was born in Borger.
Okay. How do you pronounce it?
Borger.
Borger.
B-O-R-G-E-R. Tip of the Panhandle.
Yes, sir. Okay.
90 miles north of Amarillo.
Okay. So I looked at your name.
Grew up in Odessa.
Okay. And so you have a really unique name, and there's a man that the name of Borger, the city of Borger was named after. Is that where you got your name from?
Well,
Ace?
His name was Ace Borger. No, I got it from a fellow named Ace Kadowski.
Ace Kadowski.
Who was a pitcher in a semi-pro baseball team, of which my father was a manager, and he pitched a no-hitter on the night I was born, so I got his name.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, and then also, being from Odessa, did you have a relationship with George Buddy West at all?
A buddy and I were in high school together.
Oh, really? What high school did you guys go to?
Odessa, at that time, there was only one.
Okay. Okay. And so
Buddy was we were in high school together, but he was in the legislature several years after I was.
Okay. Okay. And so from there, how crazy was that seeing each other when you came here to the legislature or knowing that you all had been here, crossed paths?
Well, I got elected way back in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy was working for an oil company. So we had lost contact for a while. And so I served out my time and then started lobbying a little. And then ultimately, I guess maybe 10, 15 years later, Buddy got elected.
Okay. So from high school, did you know that you wanted to be an elected official and represent the state of Texas?
No.
So when did that come about?
Well, I came down here to the university then I went in the Navy, came back, went to law school, went back to Odessa and started practicing law as a solo practitioner. And the incumbent member of the legislature, after about 2 years, when I decided not to run for the Senate, so it created a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, we were practicing law together, and both of us wanted to run, so we flipped a coin and I won or lost, however you want to look at it.
Right. Very nice. Okay, so going back a little bit, you said you were in the Navy. When did you join the Navy?
In 1958.
Okay, and what was your original MOS when you went into the Navy?
Well, I was in our NROTC here at the University of Texas,
okay.
So I went in as an ensign. Yeah.
Okay, but what was your job when you went in?
Well, I was in Norfolk, Virginia, stationed on a ship, USS Aldebaran.
Okay.
And went back and forth from Norfolk to the Mediterranean, replenishing ships.
Oh, wow.
Same kind of ship as Mr. Roberts was on.
It was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And it was about the same kind of operation.
And so how long did you normally stay in the Mediterranean when you guys would go out?
Stayed 2 years in the Navy.
Okay.
Then came back to law school.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So then was it in law school or was it in the Navy that you developed a sense of purpose for service or?
Well, I'd always had a little interest in it, but I really didn't get serious about it until I got back in Odessa. And
after law school?
After law school.
Okay. And so when you got back to Odessa after law school, what was your original like platform? What was it that you really wanted to make happen when you got into the seat?
Well, by circumstances, it was Odessa was the largest city in the whole United States. that didn't have a university within 150 miles of it. So everybody wanted to have a institution of higher learning.
Right.
So that's what I spent most of my legislative career trying to do, mm-hmm. ultimately was successful.
Right. Okay, so going on that higher learning theme in education, one of your big pushes was for salaries and increases for teachers?
Well, I had to do that because my mother was a teacher.
Okay.
And I was dating this girl who was a teacher, and there was two competing bills for teacher mm-hmm. Pay, and Governor Connally had one, and somebody else had another one, and I went with the governor, and it made my those ladies kind of mad, and both my mother and the lady who I found out ultimately married were teaching at Ector High School.
They were teaching at the same, so your mother and your future yeah. wife were teaching
so
at the same high school.
All the teachers at Ector High School sent me a nasty telegram.
Your mother included?
No, my mother was the only one that didn't sign. So when I went back home, I saw this picture in the paper of one of the teachers who had written this. And so I said, I'm going to call her up and I'm going to change her mind. Mm-hmm. And we've been married now for 51 years, and I've not been
successful
yet.
Congratulations. That's huge, sir. That is huge. Okay, so how did that experience with the, you know, so close to home in your district, how did that mold and shape how you presented legislation and how you acted and voted, you know, moving forward after that?
Well, everybody knows that politics is local.
Right, so, absolutely.
So if you don't tend to what the electorate wants you to do, you're not going to stay there very long.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. So a lesson learned that you could maybe impart on the current legislators from that particular instance would be?
Well, you know, Odessa is sitting in the middle of the largest pool of oil in the world. So you had to be interested in oil and gas. You had to be interested in education. And of course, sporting activities was a big deal. Along about that time, the book Friday Night Lights was written.
Absolutely. The
from
Broncos.
Odessa.
Yes,
no,
sir.
No, that was the Permian Panthers.
Okay, the Panthers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you had to be interested in that. But I spent most of my time trying to get the school in Odessa, which ultimately did the University of Texas at the Permian Basin. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So also during your time in the legislature, you were the chairman of the insurance committee.
Right.
Could you elaborate on that?
Well, that was an interesting deal because Governor Preston Smith decided that we needed to revise the insurance laws. So we had a 30-day special session on just insurance. So everybody was interested in the insurance committee. Mm-hmm. And we went through reiterations, conference committees, and wound up on the last night of the legislative session, and the Senate wouldn't go along with what the House wanted to do, and so the whole thing was for naught.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what actually happened at the end of that special session?
Well, the governor called us all in and said, what do you think we ought to do? And I said, I don't think you're going to be able to do it this time. Why don't you wait till next time? And ultimately, in the next session, they did accomplish what they were looking for. It was the automobile insurance rate at that time was a promulgated rate in which the state set the rate. The insurance companies didn't do it.
Right.
And so there was a series of bills that would have deregulation mm-hmm. of insurance so the companies could do it but would have supervision. That finally passed.
Oh, wow. Okay. So in light of, you know, a couple days ago this week, I know you've probably seen the news, we've had the anti-sanctuary city bill, and that's been arguably the biggest issue that we've tackled in the 85th. What were some of the bigger issues that you faced during your day?
Well, we certainly didn't have that kind of problem in those days. As a matter of fact, I didn't know what an immigrant was.
Right.
And when I was growing up in Odessa, because in Odessa there weren't any. Mm-hmm. So it was only later on, I came down here to the University of Texas, and of course at that point in time, things were beginning to, in that field, were beginning to move around, and but immigration was not there wasn't the same kind of circumstances. Mm-hmm. There was a farm workers program, but that generally lasted, and that was it. But most of the time in Odessa and in the Permian Basin, you know, we were trying to desperately to get people to come out there and work.
Right.
Because there was always a shortage of people to work in the oil field. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so you said that the schools and the higher education, that was a big issue for Odessa, and you said the insurance, that was a big issue in your district, but were there any major statewide issues at the time that
we participated in? Sure, we had all kinds of a session, and I was in one session. We created the Texas Coordinating Board.
And what's the Coordinating Board say?
The university, everybody was have building schools all over everywhere, and Governor Conley said we need to have some integration in this deal, oversight, so we don't just keep on, and we need to take our resources and spend them where we're talking about. It was at that point in time when they began to develop the systems of higher education.
Okay.
The University of Texas system,
they
weren't in existence. They were just institutions.
So how did that idea come about then?
Well, Governor Conley was probably one of the most forward-looking persons I've ever met in my whole life, but certainly as a governor. Mm-hmm. He came up with that idea. There were many other things. We had we didn't have many tax bills because we didn't need one. But when we needed one, why everybody got together and did it.
Right.
We didn't have the political partisanship that's in now because my first session, I think there were one Republican, maybe two. Second session, none.
Oh, wow.
Third session, one. Mm-hmm. Happened to be a fellow from Midland.
Right.
Who was a freshman member named Tom Craddock.
Oh, yeah. Very familiar with Speaker Craddock. Wow. So was it easier to get things done at that time with less of a bipartisan presence?
Well, we did have, I mean, there were, while everybody was a Democrat, mm-hmm. there were different kinds of Democrats.
Right.
That would probably fall out roughly into the Democrat and Republican makeup now.
Oh, okay, I got you.
But they were still predominantly conservative type legislators. But it wasn't a partisan. I don't ever remember being a Democrat.
Right, right.
I ran on the Democratic Party was a method by which you got nominated to serve. Mm-hmm. But after that, you didn't think much about it.
Right.
And in those days, the House and the Senate were a little more collegial, I think.
Okay.
I think it's still predominantly so. You trust, if you don't have the trust of the other people around you,
right.
you're not going to make it very long.
Right.
And so you got to develop that, and that takes a little time.
But was it easier to develop that trust then, since everybody was running under the...
I don't know. I haven't been faced with what they got.
No, you're absolutely
exactly
right.
Now. But I suspect that we liked each other a little better personally.
Absolutely. So you spoke about, the governor during the time being very forward-thinking. Were there any other ideas that you spoke to him as your time as chairman or your time in the House that were before their time that you guys collaborated on?
Well, Conley was I had several different governors. Conley was one, and the next one after that was Preston Smith, and then the next one after that was Dolph Briscoe. They were all different people,
mm-hmm.
and
different
all different styles, mm-hmm. All of which were good men, mm-hmm. Served Texas right well.
Right.
But they each had something that they wanted.
Okay, so you said Conley was the education and still in the education system. Right. That was huge, and that's still standing today.
Yeah.
And what about after that?
Well, Preston Smith was, he shall forever go down in my memory as a great governor because he signed the bill that I finally got passed to create the University of Texas at the Permian Basin.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Yeah, that's huge. That is huge.
but he was a fellow West Texan. He was from Lubbock.
Okay.
And the West Texas people kind of stick together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And at that point in time, we managed to... create the Texas Tech Medical School System. Texas Tech Law. Well, in the 4 years
ago, okay.
the Texas Tech Law School finally got underway. The a system of schools for the for Texas Tech. Supposed to have one in El Paso and Amarillo and Odessa and then, you know, spread out. So a lot of things were going on then, but it was a different little time. In some degree, our problems were worse than they are now, in some areas. But some are they're gone. They're not problems.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Things have evolved. Yeah. So after Preston, what about Briscoe?
Briscoe was a great fellow. He was very down to earth, and I told him to his face, so it's not an idea, but he didn't. He was from Uvalde.
Okay.
And he would go home on the weekends, and I think that's what we need nowadays, is a governor that goes home.
Right, right, right.
Because if he's in Uvalde, he can't do any damage in Austin.
Right. So what kind of legislation did you and Briscoe work on during the time?
Oh, we had a medical professional liability insurance crisis. That the first big non-availability of insurance for physicians.
Okay.
And the first big crisis occurred then. And Briscoe.
What brought that about, that crisis?
Well, there was a lack of availability and a lack of, and people couldn't afford it.
Okay.
Because of several different things, one of which was there was an inordinate amount of lawsuits being filed.
Malpractice suits?
Malpractice.
Okay.
I don't like the word malpractice.
It's a dirty word.
Healthcare liability.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay.
So we got that passed.
Okay. Yeah. And so that was one of the larger issues during his time there?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then towards the end of your time here, was there anything that you had a bucket list on and you said, hey, I got to get this pushed or I have to champion this issue before I head to the House?
Oh, not really. I don't have much regrets. After the time here was, I finally began to realize that in the practice of law, people are not going to wait for you while you're down here, and so I decided I was going to go broke pretty quick, and I better go make a living.
So that was what drove it, or you just say, hey?
And then I started from there. I actually moved to Austin and began representing the Texas Medical Association and some other medical organizations, and so I've been in the healthcare legal field now for 45, 50 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so obviously the higher education system and the systems that have been put in place they've come to fruition and they've been successful. What about the healthcare industry? Because you've seen that from earlier stages as well.
Well, it's morphed mm-hmm. into different problems. At that time, you didn't have the you did. You had some problems, but it was basically. People couldn't, you know, it was beginning to be unaffordable and lack of access. And so from that time, well, I think it was problems before then. Mm-hmm. It's always been a problem and will be continually, never going to ever get really solved. Mm-hmm. But maybe people can make it.
You don't think it'll get actually solved?
No.
Why is
that? It's like there are too many people involved.
Okay. Trying to please everyone.
Yeah, you can't do everything. You can't be everything to everybody.
Right. Know. But do you think we're getting closer in that direction?
No. Texas does. Most of the problems have gone to the District of Columbia.
Okay.
Because of healthcare is a national deal. So most of the instances, Texas is pretty well, has handled it pretty well, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So moving forward from that, after you started practicing here and taking on representing healthcare, was there any other pet issues that you had, or did you have any other involvement in education and teachers' salary and that sort of thing?
No, most of the efforts were related to those and kind of deals, mostly related to physicians. So then, when I quit lobbying, because of what I had been doing, I just kind of fell into a field of law in which most of my clients are doctors and hospitals,
right.
And nurses and dentists, and mm-hmm. in regulatory, in boards,
right.
Licensure, disciplinary actions, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've been told by a few legislators, past and present, that this has been a thankless job and that they were serving the people. Did you ever, after you got out, did you ever have people come up to you and thank you for things that you had passed or things that you had implemented or for representing them?
Oh, yeah. You do some things in which touch
right.
people, you know. They, when I got out, they had an appreciation dinner for me, and they created a scholarship fund at the University of Texas at the Permian Basin. Mm-hmm. And there's been 7,500 people go through that program.
Wow.
And I get cards and a thank you.
That's amazing.
Every time, and it's very
rewarding. That's an amazing legacy. Yeah. Do you have any contact with the recipients selecting the recipients?
Well, as much as you can, but, you know, people come and go.
Right.
Most of them are related there, and so they move on. And, but that's been nice. And it's been nice seeing the institution grow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's, the economic benefits to the Permian Basin and West Texas. You just, you know, it makes you feel kind of, well, maybe I did do something good.
Absolutely. So now, sir, to your sage words of wisdom to the current legislators, what would you bestow upon them?
Well, I think Sam Houston said it about as good as you could do. Do right and suffer the consequences.
Okay, and so now we're well into the session. We're getting to the tough stuff. Any advice for that? Long nights
I'm not involved in it on a day-to-day
yes, sir.
Basis. I'm standing out. I watch session here and there and still know a few people and have some contacts through this, that, and the other. So it's peripheral involvement, and they're doing okay. The whole system is, you got to step back and realize that that all of those rules, all those regulations, all those constitutions, all those statutes are designed to not pass bills. They're not designed to pass bills.
Right.
So you need to have a bill that has got some merit or it shouldn't be passed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was your approach when you were in to bring bills with merit. How big were the House rules when?
Well, they were, believe it or not, there weren't many. There was no rules committee.
Okay.
There was no, each session you got, there were 100, numbered of 150 in a hat. You drew out a number, and if that number said 75, you got to have bill number 75 on a bill.
Wow.
After that, they came sequentially.
Okay.
And as a bill was reported out of a committee, it went on the calendar in the numerical number of the bill. So if House Bill 1 was on top of the calendar, and so if you had 2,000, House Bill 2,000,
right.
you had to wait or suspend the rules. It's similar to what goes on in the Senate right now.
Okay.
But there wasn't any rules committee or anything like that. There wasn't any calendars committee.
Uh-huh.
And so it was, off the record, there's a little trading going on to get a good number.
I can imagine. So would you say that made things smoother?
Oh, I don't think it makes much difference. Give me the rules, let me know what they are. I don't care what the rules are, I just want to know what they are.
Right. And what role did the parliamentarian play while you were here?
Oh, parliamentarian's always been a big, it's a key position in both the House and especially in the House, not so much in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But a parliamentarian, because you got 150 people and everybody's shooting darts and all this kind of stuff, somebody's got to sit back and say, okay, here's what the rules said, here's what you want to do, yes or no, and advise the speaker on how he should vote.
And so what kind of interaction or relationship did you have with the parliamentarian?
At the time I was there, it was Bob Johnson. The building is named after him.
Absolutely.
Over here.
Yes, sir.
He was the parliamentarian. He was great, a former member from Dallas. Mm-hmm. He was great, but he was the most lobbied individual in the Capitol.
Really?
Everybody wanted to get on the good side of Bob Johnson.
Okay.
So when they did have something, or if they wanted to know, you can't know all the rules, but he does. So you go down there and say, Bob, I want to do that. Well, you need to go to here and here and so forth. So he's important. He or she is important. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay. Well, sir, it's been a pleasure. Is there anything that you would like to say?
No. Only thing that I can say is it was a, you know, being in the legislature is a unique experience. And, you know, if I didn't have to do anything but be in the legislature and not have to worry about raising money and getting elected, it would be a great life.
Absolutely.
But the other two things make it not quite so palatable.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, sir, it's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you. I know you've got your fans to get back to downstairs.
Fans.
Yes, sir.
I got.